where we didn't read one beef, not even one. For so many years on this segment, the written beefs were so much better than the call-in beefs. And last week, we did nothing but call-in beefs.
Hey, Bulldogs fans, it's time for the AC All Access Show, brought to you by Adrian College and Frickers of Adrian, where we unlock the doors to the heart of Adrian College athletics, including live interviews from Adrian College coaches and players.
The contest, the AC All Access Show, from right now till 3 o'clock this afternoon, and we're just going to get things started with a bang. We're going to women's volleyball. I'm talking to the libero for the volleyball program, Maya Manjaris. Maya, hello.
Hi.
Thanks for being on.
Thank you for inviting me.
So, I was told prior to this, you have 1,000 career digs.
Yes.
Explain to our audience, I know, I've learned. What's a dig?
A dig is the first contact of volleyball. You're allowed 3. And basically, my job is defense on the back line, and a dig is the first contact up to the setter.
Fantastic. 1,000 of those in your career. So yes. Am I to assume you're a senior?
No, I'm a junior.
Oh, so time for more.
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic. So just a junior here at AC. Where did you play your high school volleyball? Where are you from?
I am from the Royal Oak area. I played at Shrine. It's a very small little school. And I played club for most of my life, and then I came to Adrian.
Yeah, so what brought you to Adrian College?
I liked the campus. I liked the size of it, the family feeling and atmosphere. The campus itself is very beautiful, and when I met the girls, I loved them all. They're all so kind and loving. It was a great family environment, and I thought I would have a great opportunity to play all 4 years, which is what I really wanted, considering these are my last 4 I'll ever get. So, yeah.
I get that family phrase a lot in talking to student athletes is, you know, just feel like home. Like, the campus is self-contained but big enough where it's not like you feel trapped. Very cool. Success on the court. I mean, 1,000 career digs, that's a big deal, and you've obviously had to be playing for a long time. When you heard that number, what did that mean to you? Like, how did it feel to get that mark?
Yeah, it's an accomplishment, obviously, for myself, but I wouldn't be able to do it without the help of my teammates. The frontline defense is obviously sets up the backline defense. So our blockers are really doing a great job of setting up their block so I can station around them. And they are the main reason that I'm able to do my job and help them out for our offense.
Looking at your season so far, if you go to AdrianBulldogs.com or you have the app and you see the schedule, you'll see Seattle, Washington. You'll see Indiana.
Yes.
Most recently, Illinois. What was that like to go out west and play in Washington?
In all honesty, it was pretty exhausting. It was a long flight there and back. The time difference was kind of hard. It was 3 hours, so playing at 1 a.m. our time was a little difficult. But the competition was really great. You know, it was preparing us for our conference. We have a really, really tough conference. We have Calvin, Hope, Albion. So we were hoping by going out to Washington, we would see new teams we had never played before. And no matter the outcome, we knew we were going to be improving, which was what we wanted.
Talking with Maya Manjaris of the Adrian College Women's Volleyball Program. So you finish up that road trip. You get a win.
Yes.
Which is always good.
Yes.
Right? Then you come back, and you're not playing at home yet.
No.
As you go to DePaul, Indiana, for the MIAA-NCAC crossover.
Yes.
What was that like? You guys picked up a win on that weekend, it looks like.
Yes. I mean, any win our team can get in preseason, it was obviously what we wanted. So we knew playing top-ranked teams, there wasn't going to be, you know, 3-0 or 4-0, what everybody wants. But we played the teams well. We played them consistent, and we keep getting better every time. DePauw was a good experience for us. We kind of hit our limit of, you know, the losses that we had, and we realized as a team that we went to Illinois that we wanted to win more and be successful, and we kind of had to push past a barrier to do that. And I thought our team was really successful in Indiana, whether it was, you know, with the losses or not. So
learning how to win is very important in taking that next step, right?
Yes.
So you did that. What a beautiful segue. You go to Illinois. You get two wins in the Viking Classic.
Yes.
You beat Clarkston University and then
Grinnell
College.
Yes.
I mean, you're coming off a two-game win streak. You've won six sets in a row. That's got to be a pretty good feeling.
Yes, it's nice. I mean, even our loss against Augustana, we might have lost the three sets, but it was pretty close the entire game, and they're a nationally ranked team. So our wins from Illinois, we're hoping we can push past and keep going, and especially with Heidelberg tomorrow, we're really excited to see how we can compete with teams back in our area, and then obviously in our conference the next few weeks.
So going back to that tournament, your name came up as a selection for the all-tournament team.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You and teammate Haley Farrell.
Yes.
You know, she picked up a career milestone too.
Yes.
With 2,000 career assists. I'm sure you helped out with those, right? You're the first contact. She sets them up, and then someone else kills it.
Yes, I mean, I do help Haley in a sense that I am the first contact, but Haley is just an amazing setter. Her 2,000 assists, she deserves this award, and I'm really proud of her that she did that. I mean, our offense is fast, and she handles it well, especially being our only setter. We run a solo setter system, so it's impressive that she did that, and she's a senior, so we're hoping that she can push past and give us a few more assists for her few games. So
you said solo setter system?
Yes. Okay, so there's two systems usually in volleyball. There's a 5-1 and a 6-2. I didn't want to say 5-1 because it's a term that not many people know, but we run a 5-1. It means there's one setter on the court and three pins in the front line when she's in the back row, and then when she rotates up to the front row, there's two pins. So with a 6-2, there's two setters, and they only set from the back row. So you have three hitters in the front row at all times.
So that's just a strategy?
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
You obviously like playing that type of way?
I think it works for our team. We have other setting options, which are great. We don't usually run a 6-2. It involves more hitters. But I think we're pretty comfortable with our 5-1 right now. It depends on the day, you know. If Haley's having a hard time or we're getting blocked a lot because we're running the 5-1, we might switch to two setters. It really depends on the team and how we're feeling. So
we turn the page to tomorrow.
Yes.
6:30, the location of your match finally says home.
Finally.
You're going to play Heidelberg at the Marilat tomorrow night, 6:30 start, so get there a little bit early.
Yes.
What are you looking forward to playing at home?
Just that. I'm excited to play at home. I mean, we've been traveling for the past 3 weeks, and it's been really exhausting being on a bus, being on a plane, just going to every hotel, and I'm just excited to finally be in our home gym where we're comfortable and where my mom and my family can come and see me play, and our friends can come see us play. That's not through a television screen. So we're just excited. And Heidelberg's a good team, but I think we're ready to play against them.
That's the interesting thing about Division III to me is your non-conference road games, you have to travel quite a bit because the schools around you are in the MIAA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to play them out of conference.
Yeah.
So you get those trips to Seattle, Indiana, and then Illinois. Looking forward, though, you have Heidelberg Friday, the last tune-up before conference play.
Yep.
You start two games on the road with Trine, then Alma to finish up September. It's kind of all built toward that, right? The first half of your year is who are we and how good can we be? And then you get into league play. Who are the contenders besides Adrian, you think, in the MIAA?
I mean, it's, as of right now, it's Calvin, Hope, and Albion that are kind of the top-ranked teams. Calvin and Hope are top 10 in the country, so they are obviously very difficult, but we knew that going into this year, and that's why we chose such a difficult schedule so we could prepare to hopefully beat them and compete. And, you know, Albion's going to be a good challenge for us. They're number 3, and we are number 4, so we're hoping to take that third spot and beat them. We play them at home this year, so that's obviously an advantage, and we're really excited for that matchup.
Yeah, and that could play into seeding for the conference tournament. Is you don't want to be like just making it in, because then you have to play
the best
nationally
team.
Ranked team.
Yeah.
So give yourself a shot if you're in the middle of the pack. Very cool. I mean, another game of note, we'll just circle it on our calendar for October 6th. That's a Friday at home. Mm-hmm. Siena Heights University.
Yes.
Makes a long trip across town to play the Bulldogs.
Yes.
That's kind of cool to have a university within the same city to play them.
Yeah. I mean, Siena Heights is always really good competition for us. They're always, you know, big front line, good defense, tough serving. So even if we don't always beat them, it's really, really good competition and very similar to some of the top-ranked teams in our conference. So.
Well, that's great. Stop on by the Marilat Friday night, 6:30, Bulldogs hosting the Student Princes of Heidelberg University. I know that could be controversial because it's the women's volleyball team, but they are the Student Princes. They're going to be here at the Marilat, so go on over 6:30 Friday night to watch Maya and the Bulldogs take on the Student Princes. Maya, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Good luck on Friday.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Once again, that is Maya Manjares with the Adrian College Women's Volleyball Program. 1,000 career digs for the junior libero. I'm learning a lot on this ACL Access show. We are going to transition here as we're going to get our next guest with us with the men's rugby program. It looks like we'll have coach coming up here, Zach Mizell. I hope I'm saying that right, coach.
Yep.
Okay.
Good enough.
Well, you're fine. Doing some things on the fly here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome to the show. I had the women's rugby team coach on last week. I learned a lot about rugby, and could you tell us a little bit about the men's side of things at Adrian College with the rugby team?
Yeah, so for men's rugby, it's actually our first year in Division I. So it's been a bit of a learning curve, but as we adapt, we get better every week. So just seeing the guys kind of improve day after day and week after week is something that's been a really positive of the season so far.
Can you explain what Division I means? I know it's kind of split up interestingly for rugby because not everybody has a rugby program.
Right, so for Division I, for us, it's the highest level of domestic collegiate competition in the United States. So most of the teams within our league will fill out the Collegiate All-Americans, the USA U-20s, and then the USA national team kind of pulls a lot of guys from our division. So it is what you would consider the top level of collegiate rugby.
Okay, so when they look at the schedule online, they're going to see probably some familiar schools. Who do we play?
So we've got Arkansas State coming up, which is this will be the first time playing them. Probably the only familiar schools would be Davenport, who's a Michigan local rival for us up in northern Michigan. So that would be the one they recognize. Trine's another one that's just a friendly match. They're not quite up to the Division I level yet, but it is definitely a name that would be recognized around Adrian.
What's it been like to sort of get the sport established at Adrian College? I mean, in my short time around the school, it's been exploding in terms of the number of programs. How do you build a rugby program in southern Michigan?
Well, first you got to take your time, and it's kind of a slow burn, obviously, where you educate the community a good bit. So we've done a good bit of community interaction to kind of let people know we're here and also teach them about rugby. It's always a complicated game, but at the end of the day, it's still running, tackling, all the things that you love in southeastern Michigan that you get from the sports like football or even hockey with a bit of the contact and fast flowing. So it's kind of been a pretty quick acceptance, just I think because of the community we're in really loves that the hard physical type games.
Well, yeah, and if I'm going to give maybe you a tip, if you're looking at some local athletes, a lot of wrestlers in Lenawee County.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would translate well to rugby, too.
Yeah, and it does. Honestly, we have a couple of dual sport athletes that are rugby players during the fall and then wrestle in the winter. So already starting down that avenue.
Sure. Well, that's awesome. You recently played your first match of the season.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And that was to Kutztown. The season opener didn't totally go your way, but what'd you learn about your team after one game?
Well, like I said, so getting into Division I was a big learning curve, and I think during that first game, you really saw that learning curve kicking in. Whereas in that second match, we improved a lot. So I think just getting a taste of Division I at the beginning was just kind of the first battle. We had to tick off that box of just realizing that we're at the same level of competition of the teams that we're playing. And I think you saw a bit more of that with our second week score, kind of narrowing it down some. And we still have some issues to fix, but we've gotten better every week. And that's what I have to tell the guys is as long as we get better every practice and every week, at the end of the day, we'll be playing our best rugby when we need to be.
Well, yeah, thanks for that correction. Mike Prang pointed out you've played a couple matches. You had Notre Dame College of Ohio. I didn't know he could score 3 points. How does that happen in rugby?
It's kind of like a field goal. So
okay. When
you have a penalty kind of in their half of the field, you can elect to take a kick it goal, and that's where the 3 points comes from.
Okay. I just thought it was, you know, you get a try and then you do that kick afterwards.
Yeah, the conversion, which is two. Sure. So, yeah, just penalties is kind of the method to get threes.
Okay. Well, it looks like you brought a student-athlete that decided to get another microphone set up. Do you mind introducing who we have?
Yeah, so this is our team captain, Nick Andiarena. Been really one of our senior leaders in the team. Also one of, I think, only two seniors that we have.
Yeah, only two seniors this year.
So, yeah, he's been a great addition. He also has a bit of collegiate select side experience outside of Adrian Rugby, which kind of helped him along that leadership path. And I'll let him talk more about that.
Yeah, so what's something I think I ask every student athlete I talk to, what brought you to Adrian College?
Oh, man, it was such a great atmosphere when coming on this visit. I just came on the visit. I met the other guys that were looking and really bonded with them, and we said, hey, this is a place we love the small environment and being able to know like everyone on the campus and in the community as well. And we all decided together that it would be in our best interest to come to this school.
So what was your rugby experience before coming to college? Is it high school rugby or are there clubs? How does that work?
Just started playing as a freshman in high school and then playing some men's club, getting moved up into some development teams. And then while on those development teams, I got recruited to come to Adrian College.
Okay. There are positions in rugby, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. If you're watching on TV, it just seems like a big old mess and they're all chasing after the ball. What position do you play?
I primarily play lock. Lock for Adrian College. So
okay. What is that?
numbers 4 and 5 are the locks. Kind of just the big, tall men on the field, just moving around, and the main jumpers in the lineouts. So when the ball goes out of bounds, we throw it back in, and the best way to catch that ball is to lift someone up in the air, and so the locks are typically the ones that go up in the air.
Someone lifts you in the air?
Yeah.
You look like you would be lifting someone in the air. I'd want a small person.
It goes the other way as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I assume you play at the Docking Stadium, right, on that artificial turf?
Yep.
What's that like? I know a lot of rugby matches I've seen on TV, they play on grass. Is there a difference, really, between the two?
Yeah, there's a big difference, especially when you're kicking the ball. Kicking on that turf, the ball goes a lot further on that bounce. And just how it affects your body with the different turf burns that you get. Because there's a lot of time you spend on the ground. So you get torn up a little bit more on the turf.
Being one of two seniors, you said, mm-hmm. on this team, I assume everyone looks to you for some leadership. What kind of leader are you? Are you a vocal leader or lead by example, would you say?
I try my best just to lead by example. I will get on the boys sometimes, but I just like to typically just try and just lead by example. I'll talk when we get in the huddles, but once we're on the field, a little less talking and more just action.
I'll switch it back to coach. I talked with Maya with volleyball, and there's different strategies and formations and how you line up. Is there sort of a process or a set position for players to play in rugby, or is it sort of flow around the ball?
It's a little bit of a combination of both. So it's kind of how you choose to play as a coach and as a team. For us, we're a bit more structured. We like to use our guys that are good at kicking to kick a lot, our guys that are good at jumping to jump a lot, and then our guys that are good at tackling to make most of the tackles. Obviously, everybody has to use every bit of skill involved in the game, but we kind of try to keep guys in their strong suits based on what their natural abilities are. But at the end of the day, it's really just, you know, run forward, pass backwards, and tackle the guy that runs right at you. So it's not too complicated a game, although it looks it.
Right.
At the end of the day, you get those three things right, and you can win most matches.
With the point after, you have the goalposts set up for football at Dokken Stadium. Aren't they normally narrower than that for rugby, or do you just kick into that?
They're actually normally about 10 yards forward from where they are, so they're at the front of the goal line rather than at the back of the goal line. So it does add about 10 yards or so to the kick. But other than that, I'm pretty sure the width is pretty close
same.
Yep, as far as I know. Yeah, pretty much just it's further back. So a 50-meter kick for us would be about a 60-yard kick just because you have those extra 10 yards.
Sure. Okay. Back over to Andy. Looking at your schedule, you've been on the road twice. You finally get to play at home. As Coach said, Arkansas State comes into town. You know, you have to be ready to play a match at home. You know, you've been on the road quite a bit, and now you get to stay home.
Yeah, love the home games. Definitely the best, starting from the beginning. The school didn't really know about it, so the first couple games were smaller crowds, but like, even last year, and I'm can expect it to happen tomorrow night, there'll be good crowds coming through, and love to see it, love to see everyone coming out and create the atmosphere at the games.
Yeah, I imagine a rugby atmosphere is similar to a soccer atmosphere. You know, when you look at the European game, right? I mean, it's pretty rowdy. It's a very physical, intense sport.
Yeah, very much so. And honestly, when the crowd gets involved, it can kind of give the home team an extra leg, you know. And that's what we've seen in the past here is when that crowd shows up, the boys really, really play above themselves. And so that's something we're looking forward to on Friday night.
Could you talk to the makeup of the team? If I remember right, the girls team had 15 freshmen on the squad. You with two seniors. What's kind of the makeup of the Bulldog roster?
We're pretty similar. So we've brought in 16 new recruits this season. We have about 35 total players because we're kind of split down the middle between new blood and the old guard. So it's been really good because we get that tradition that they've been building for the last couple of years, but we also get a bit of new energy to kind of give us the energy to grow a little bit more.
Sure. Talking with Adrian College Men's rugby coach Zach Mizell here on AC All Access. I want to backtrack. I should have asked you this toward the beginning. What's your coaching and possible playing experience with rugby?
So playing experience, oddly enough, I started out in college at Arkansas State University.
Big one
for me. Getting to play against the home team. And then coaching wise, I've also coached at Arkansas State University in 2021. So it's really a dual headed monster coming.
Wow.
And a lot of personal ties for me. But other than that, most of my coaching career has been at Life University, which is a very powerful, high-performance rugby program. So kind of trying to at least lay the groundwork of what I learned there here at Adrian as well.
A wealth of experience. Gotta love it, you know, when you're building up a program. Andy, what's it like? I'll give you an easy question.
Yeah, sure.
What's it like playing for Coach, who happens to be sitting 2 feet away from you?
It's great. It's awesome. Very professional. We play at the Division I level, so he treats us like Division I guys. He comes prepared, and he expects us to do the same thing. So, love
awesome.
That.
Well, thank both of you for being on with me today. Our time has come and gone, believe it or not. Best of luck Friday.
Yep.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, Docking Stadium.
All right, be there, be square. Good luck, fellas.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having us.
You're tuned into the AC All Access Show here at Frickers in Adrian. They're hiring cooks, wait staff. If you want to work here, stop on by. If you just want to eat and be a patron, they'd love that too. It's out here on Main Street in Adrian. We're going to take a break. On the other side, we're going to talk some men's and women's tennis. Don't go away. You're tuned in to the AC All Access Show on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
The women's soccer team faces St. Joseph University tomorrow. Men's and women's tennis take on Davenport Tuesday. You can also check out men's and women's golf, men's soccer, and the equestrian team this week.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit AdrianBulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
The women's soccer team faces St. Joseph University tomorrow. Men's and women's tennis take on Davenport Tuesday. You can also check out men's and women's golf, men's soccer, and the equestrian team this week.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit AdrianBulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Welcome to the AC All Access Show. My name is Jim West. We're here at Frickers in Adrian. Stop by for some lunch, dinner, personal pictures, $6.50. Learn more, stop on by to Frickers here in Adrian. Like I said, it is the AC All Access Show. A look into several of the athletic programs here at Adrian College. And we're going to talk some men's and women's tennis in just a moment with our coach, Robert Hall, as he will be joining us. It was a pleasure to talk to Maya Manjaras of the women's volleyball program, also Zach Mazzell of men's rugby, and his captain, Andy. And with that, we are joined by, says Robert Hall on the sheet. I assume that's you, Coach. Well, it's nice to meet you. And we're going to learn a whole lot about Adrian College men's and women's tennis. So you pull double duty and just coach them all.
I certainly do.
All right. Great way to start an interview with a coach, I think, is to ask about your experience, whether that be coaching or playing or both. Could you tell us about Mr. Hall and who you are?
Okay, a little bit about me. I hail from Queens, New York, where I didn't play tennis. I did everything but tennis.
Okay.
But I did go to Ohio Wesleyan University and dated a young lady whose mother was the University of Pennsylvania's coach. And from then, the love affair from tennis began.
Okay.
Okay. And
some tennis court dates.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and she was very proficient teaching, working with the mom, and basically that inspired me to continue. And so when I moved from New York to, I guess my first was to Detroit, I involved myself in many tournaments, of which I, and USTA, United States Tennis Association, has age groups and everything. So I won 7 state championships within the age group that I was in. And I became a certified instructor, and I've been a certified instructor teaching tennis. That's PTR, Professional
okay.
Tennis Registry, out of Hilton Head, South Carolina, for the last 20 years.
So you've done, sounds like, individual type stuff and maybe camps and things like that?
I have. Okay. I've also worked with the Berkeley Middle School program, providing the high school with their levels of players. And as they get to know me, basically my, I guess, the reputation kind of spreads, at which point I embrace others from other high schools.
Okay. So in terms of collegiate coaching, is this your first stop?
This is my first stop.
Well, we welcome you here. my goodness, and you jump right into it. Well, what's it like working with Mr. Rainey and the administration at the college?
They've been extraordinarily welcoming. They've been kind. They've been very, very knowledgeable, of course, and bringing me up to speed as quickly as possible, because I came in full bore back on March 18th, kind of mid-season. And
yeah.
I believe that we really did a nice job for coming in. My student athletes did a nice job coming in at such a short time and not knowing me. But again, I wanted to establish in them a sense of pride, because I told them right off the bat, I said, there will be no more losing at Adrian Tennis. They said, what? I said, no more losing. There's only two things that's going to happen as a result of you being a part of the program. You're either going to win or you're going to learn. Okay? There's no losing. And so that's not me, that's Nelson Mandela that said that. And so I believe they've embraced that, because every time they want to slip and say, I learned, and then I'll ask them a follow-up question. What exactly did you learn when you were out there?
Well, that's a great way to teach. You know, you learn a lot more in a loss than you do with a win. Sorry,
exactly.
You learn a lot more in a learning opportunity
there
than
you
do with a win. Sorry.
No problem.
You just told me about that. So, Coach, looking at your season thus far, mixed results, but you've played a very good competition recently with the Division II school in Davenport.
Oh, well, it's funny. When I looked at them warm up, and of course these are athletic scholarship, but from top to bottom, I informed my group, they're solid from top to bottom. Just having them recognize, hey, they're going to be in for a whirlwind. But again, it's a learning experience, very learning
sure.
experience. And so, except the time before that, we took apart the previous schools that we
sure.
had, Concordia, for example. And so we're 500. We have another 3 matches yet to go against Bethel, against Mountain Union, and against Indiana University Southeast.
So just looking at the season, you have a split season with tennis.
Yes, we do.
That's very unique and interesting.
It's called a period type of sport.
Okay.
So we have fall tennis, in which just get them acclimated, hopefully, non-conference type of matches. And, of course, we want to be challenged, and that's what the Division IIs will definitely give us. And then there's a spring break, in which we go down to the United States tennis campus down in Orlando, Florida, for a week, playing schools there, and that's leading up to the regular season.
Wow. Oh, so you get these fall matches then, and as you said, you know, Davenport bringing in scholarship students. Concordia's NAIA, they're giving scholarships
yes,
for
they
athletics.
Are. Yes, they are.
Aquinas, those two schools you beat.
Yes.
So it's, in some ways, it's an uphill challenge in NCAA Division III, because you can't give out athletic scholarships.
Exactly.
How do you approach that? Like, as simple as it is, and this is with every sport, how do you get a student athlete to pay to play a sport at the collegiate level, you know, via tuition and stuff like that? Could you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, well, basically the way I present Adrian is certainly as an academic institution, and if in fact the student athlete was in fact that skilled, they would be going to a 2 or a 1. The fact is they're not bad, but at the same time, they want to be able to make sure that they can play a sport, because many times the Division IIs are recruiting the foreign athlete, okay? And many times those are the athletes that we come up against. Interesting enough, we're recruiting foreign athletes as well, because we have a individual from Sweden, Casper Olofsson, and we have Luca, and he's from South Africa. And we have a young lady, Hey Jen, she's from Saipan. So, and they are moved up in our lineup because of their expertise. But the key is to inspire the student to understand what Adrian is about, the academics that they're going to pursue, the fact that they will become captains of industry, and by the way, they can play tennis in addition.
Yeah, very, very well said. You sound like you've been recruiting, you know?
I have been.
you have, you know, a few matches under your belt. You coach both the men's and women's.
Yes.
I assume they play at the same exact time.
Yes, they do.
So it's not like golf where they're all over the course and the coach has to drive around or whatever they do. How do you coach a tennis match with 6, 8, 12?
We have 12
going
courts.
Going on at a time.
We have 12 courts. Well, what is helpful is the fact that I have a volunteer in the name of Kyle Haynes, and he is a alum of Adrian, and he called me up and he wanted to get involved as a unpaid volunteer, but he has a love affair for the sport the same as I. So we work together in terms of covering the matches. Like you said, I can't be all over the place, and so basically my needs are really on the court where the young person is struggling a bit. And so, and we have exhibitions that we're running. And so those are the times in which I am, my time is certainly divided, but I try to give everyone a fair shot at what I see, what I can impart to them, and how they can go on and prayerfully win the match.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Talking with the men's and women's tennis coach at Adrian College, Robert Hall, here on AC All Access. You look at your matches to finish out your fall. You have a home match Saturday, big one against Bethel University out of Indiana.
Yes.
Then you're at Mount Union, and then you finish up at home. Is there a home court advantage in tennis, would you say, or can there be?
I believe there is. I believe there is, okay. Especially when the crowd gets involved. I mean, that was the reason to having a homecoming tennis match, because typically it's usually football that gets all of the hoopla.
Sure.
But so what we did was, and thanks to the captain, Brandon Falk, he inspired me to get an early start so it wouldn't interrupt with the festivities of homecoming. So we got a very early start. 8 o'clock, our opponents arrived. We got on the court around 9:30. We concluded everything within about 2.5 to 3 hours, and that was a very, very good win against Concordia. The men went 8-1, and the ladies went 9-0.
Yeah, that'll do.
So hopefully that will establish a new homecoming, a tradition.
I like that. Well, when I was talking with Jenny Carlson the day before homecoming weekend, she said, she was giving the schedule, and she said, 9 a.m. tennis. I said, what? 9 a.m. tennis? But I understand why you did it now.
Yes.
That was a good move for you, maybe not the players.
Actually, the players enjoyed themselves.
They enjoyed themselves
with the win.
Yeah,
and
that helps.
And then, of course, they left and did all the things that they do during homecoming. I don't think it was too disrupting for them.
Okay. Well, I mean, I was a student. Mornings, no. I'll do a 1 o'clock match. I'll do a noon.
Yeah.
But Hey, kudos.
Tennis can be any time. You have to be ready. As a matter of fact, we have normally 4 o'clock matches, and usually, but with the 12 courts really helps out, so you can get everything done before the sun goes down.
Could you sort of describe the makeup of the teams in terms of, you know, upperclassmen, underclassmen? What's the makeup?
Yeah, we have mostly upperclassmen taking the primary lineup, and we normally have 3 doubles and 6 singles. So they pretty much rule the main lineup, although I mentioned the incoming freshmen from South Africa, from Sweden, as well as Saipan. They have also taken prominent positions in the lineup. And so that's really good. The team is large. I have 16 men and 16 women. And so, again, as we graduate the upperclassmen and everything, my goal is to make sure that I have that pipeline continuing being fed, thus recruiting.
So, seems like international recruiting. You're busy. How do you get players from out of the U.S. to come to Adrian College? And you also have to, as they say, take care of your backyard. You know, if there's a player that fits your profile locally, you want to pick them up too.
Exactly. It's really a communication, getting them in contact with admissions as soon as possible so that we can get all the important work out of the way, make sure that they're good students initially, and then finding out what really draws them beyond tennis. And then have them understand what the program's about, what I'm about, and then have them meet me. Hopefully they can make a trip. And if they can't, we'll do a Zoom call, we'll do a WhatsApp, whatever. Just the communication process become very important in terms of engaging these individuals. As a matter of fact, without meeting the two, because that was recruited, they were recruited by my predecessor, I needed to go to the airport to pick those gentlemen up.
Okay.
because campus security, they were all tied up. And so, thus, I drove to the airport. But that was a good 45 minutes to an hour drive in which I got to meet them, and they got to meet me, and we got to really understand. They got to understand what I was about. So that was good. I enjoyed it.
I think we have a birthday behind us. That was what that noise was. Waitstaff here at Frickers getting excited for someone's birthday. Saturday, noon start.
Yes.
At the Kraft Tennis Complex.
That's correct.
For your next match. Well, let's get everybody out there and supporting the Dogs. I've been talking with Coach Robert Hall of both the men's and women's tennis teams. Thanks for being on today, and best of luck.
Thank you for having me.
Once again, we are here at Frickers AC All Access. My name is Ian Wendt. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk some cross country when we come back here on 96.5 FM, 965thecave.com.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
The women's soccer team faces St. Joseph University tomorrow. Men's and women's tennis take on Davenport Tuesday. You can also check out men's and women's golf, men's soccer, and the equestrian team this week.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit AdrianBulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
The women's soccer team faces St. Joseph University tomorrow. Men's and women's tennis take on Davenport Tuesday. You can also check out men's and women's golf, men's soccer, and the equestrian team this week.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit AdrianBulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Show where we talk about Bulldog athletics. Here at Frickers and Adrian, I'm Ian Wendt. They're hiring at Frickers. If you want maybe some part-time work, stop on by, fill out an application, and maybe get some lunch or dinner just while you happen to be here. And it's now time to switch gears to a sport that I have never and will never be good at. I'm sure I could if I tried. Like, in the best shape of my life, I could never run. Imagine this body skinnier, still couldn't run. Anyway, we're talking some cross country, the men's and women's side. They're coached by Miles Kane. He sits across from me. Hi, Coach. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing real well. How are you?
Doing great.
Good to hear.
Doing great. Talking about the cross country scene, I kind of, in some ways, compare it to golf, where the coach kind of like advises, gives little tweaks, but it's a very individual sport, but team results do matter, you know. How do you approach coaching cross country?
Approaching cross country is really big. You know, we got to find our why for each individual person, and I think finding that why for coaching helps us a long ways, because it is so individual when thing, and it's a pretty tough sport, you know, along there with swimming and rowing. So when things get tough, we got to have a pretty big why, and that's something we work on quite a bit.
W-H-Y, why?
W-H-Y, like why we do this. We got to have a strong why.
Getting deep, philosophical. You have
right
a lot
away.
Of time to think about it while you're running.
That's exactly right.
That's great. Could you talk about your, if you have prior coaching experience and prior running experience?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually ran at a Division III school in Ohio called Wittenberg. Was varsity there a number of years. Really learned a lot from the coaches there in terms of training and how to manage a team. Spent a year back in Ann Arbor and then went and moved out to West Virginia last year. Coaching at a Division II school called Alderson Broaddus, doing both distance and mid-distance work, and had a fairly successful year in track over there, and got the opportunity to move back closer to home, so here I am.
Well, if people hear the name, the last name, it's quite familiar if you're walking around campus, Student Center.
Yeah.
There's a tie there.
There is, yeah. So my grandfather was actually the president of Adrian College, and he is actually one of the big reasons that I decided to move back home, you know, just be closer to him and, you know, see more of him and my grandmother.
That's very cool.
Yeah. I do go by Coach Miles, though. If you call me Coach Kane, you're going to be talking about my dad or my great uncle or someone else.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll make a note of that for when you come on the show the next time. Coach Miles. So you are two meets into the season, right? You had the Olivet Comet Open, where men did very well. So did the women. Men in third. Women out of fifth out of nine for the ladies, 10 for the men.
Mm-hmm.
First time out competing back then. That was way back in the beginning of the month. What do you feel about their performance?
Yeah, so, you know, the first opener is always kind of a rust buster, as we say. And, you know, I didn't expect a ton from them. And they definitely exceeded my expectations. So with an opener, having no negatives is a positive. They had a pretty rough workout that Tuesday and were coming on with some pretty tired legs. So was pretty happy with how they handled that.
So coming out of that, how do you approach practices? Do you just, you know, open the gate and say run, and we'll see you back in whoever knows how long. You know, maybe people see him running around campus, or do they just stay on a treadmill?
Yeah, so we they will most of the time go outside. Most of them hate the treadmill. It's boring. You know, you're just running in one place, and so most of them will choose to go run out and about. But we do workouts every Tuesday, Friday, and then we've got our speed development Monday, Thursday, and so then we also have lifting. Monday, Thursday is when we have those. So, you know, we train very specific. You know, the training that we do will vary through the year, so that way we can peak our fitness at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's something I've learned, you know, following high school cross country and even track. You know, you don't getting a PR early isn't bad, but you'd rather PR personal record at the end, you know, when things mean just a little bit more.
Yep.
You know, so we're going to fast forward from September 1st to the 15th, a long trip to Ann Arbor for the Concordia, the Cardinal invite. Just three teams participating, but Adrian got the sweep. So going from third and fifth to first and first, pretty good.
Definitely, yeah. And, you know, that meet was our first race at the actual race distance that we'll be racing at conference and regionals. So that's 8K for the men, 6K for the women. And so, you know, we went out with a pretty conservative view, just trying to make sure that we can get comfortable at the race distance. And, you know, we had some ups and downs individually, but as a whole, we pulled it together and had a pretty good showing.
How many runners go per side, men and women, typically?
So it'll depend on the race. Some races will cap how many runners can run. But typically what they'll do is they'll just score the first seven. Conference, we'll have seven runners. At regionals, we'll have seven runners. And so whoever is top seven will race.
And then how many are on your roster roughly for each?
I want to say it's around 33 in all. I want to say it's 14 women, maybe 18 guys. I know that doesn't add up to 33, but somewhere around there.
You know, it's a round number. You know, there's a lot to keep track of with two programs, essentially.
Yeah.
In my life, I'll change this at some point. I've never been to a cross-country meet. I've had no reason to go. Do they run them separately, the men and the women, or, you know, do they start the men first or women first? How do they do that?
Yeah, so men and women run separately. Typically, it changes every year. So I believe this year men run first, and then next year women will run first. That's a fairly standard thing in the U.S. at this point.
Okay. And if people go to adrianbulldogs.com and look at the schedule, they don't see any conference opponents until the MIAA championships. I'm sure you had some in the Olivet race, some MIAA schools, but there's no league per se with cross country, like regular season?
Yeah, so for cross country and track, pretty much everything is left to conference. And so most of the meets leading up to that, they don't necessarily lead to any points in terms of conference standing. They're just opportunities to race fast and learn how to run well. So that's almost how we treat them. We are, you know, chasing some PR. Some of my athletes are due for some good performances. But, you know, conference is what really matters.
Talking with the men's and women's cross country coach at Adrian College, Coach Miles, here on ACL Access. So October 28th is the MIAA championships. That's over in Holland. And then you have the regionals.
Mm-hmm.
How many do they take from the MIAA championships?
So that's up to the coaches. Conference is kind of its own separate thing, and then everybody who's in the region will go race at the region as long as they have a team that has run a certain amount of races.
All right. I need that one more time.
So that's okay.
The MIAA championships don't dictate who gets to what runners get to go to regionals.
That's right.
That's up to the coaches.
That's right.
And you can bring your seven.
Yep.
To regionals.
Yep.
If you want to.
Yep. That's
okay.
Right.
All right. Good. Sounded a lot more complicated than that, but the MIAA championships don't really matter in terms of getting to the national level.
So actually, I believe how it is done in some conferences, I haven't looked just yet because we're not necessarily at the caliber yet where we could win conference.
Okay.
We're working on our way. But I believe the team that comes in first will then go on to nationals. That's how it was done at my last conference. I would have to double check it. But I said, not something that I'm super concerned about at this moment.
It's not like wrestling where you could take an individual and the team and or, you know, like.
Yeah. You can. So there are team qualifications at regional, at the regional race. And then there are also individual qualifications. So we do have somebody who could make it to nationals. Outside chance. We just got to see where we can get throughout the season. But that would be individually.
All right. I'm just learning a lot in these first couple ACL Access shows, talking some cross country. Your next chance to compete is up in Lansing. Lansing Community College, the Invitational Cross Country Meet. That's on Friday up in Lansing.
Yep.
What are you looking to get out of your team for that one, besides winning? Obviously, you want to win, right?
Yeah. You know, winning would be really tough for us right now. But we're really looking to run well this weekend. You know, this is our first opportunity on a faster course to kind of go post some times. And like I said, a lot of my kids have put the work in, and you know, they're due for a good race, and a couple of them probably will get some PRs.
In terms of the course, I think that's a unique thing with cross country, is you could be running in the woods. You could be running in an open field. I mean, what are most of these courses like that Adrian races on?
Yeah, so it depends. You know, some are the Comet Open. Our first one was on a golf course. Our previous one was just around Concordia University's campus. And that one was pretty hilly. And so you get some variation, and so times aren't always reliable. So when we get a chance to run fast at a, you know, pretty flat course, we definitely want to take advantage of it.
All right. Well, that's coming up on Friday, the 22nd. That's a 12:30 start if you're in the Lansing area, mm-hmm. or you want to make the trip up there and on the Bulldogs. And then the 14th of October, you're at the Jayhawk Invitational in Muskegon, MIAA Championships toward the end of October. So hopefully we can build up to that one and send some kids to the regionals. I've been talking with the coach for the men's and women's cross country teams at Adrian College, Coach Miles. Thank you so much for coming on, and good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay, that is going to do it for us this afternoon already here at Frickers in Adrian, the location of the AC All Access Show. I'd like to thank everyone out there for listening, to Dale Gartner and John Kane back in our studios, for all the coaches and athletes on the program today. Thank you once again. Again, this is the AC All Access Show on 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
That's a wrap for today's episode of AC All Access. We hope you enjoyed this exclusive look behind the scenes of Adrian College Athletics. Join us next Thursday at Frickers and Adrian. Check out upcoming Adrian College events at adrianbulldogs.com.
Are you ready for huge opinions on the Lions, Tigers, Wings, Pistons, Michigan, MSU, and every sports team in the state of Michigan? It's time for the...